Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hello, and thank you so much for joining us for your Ring of Honor and TNA post-show. My goodness, it is May 9th, and I am so excited to be joined by the wonderful Astrid. We're going to introduce her to the set to you guys in a second because she has not been on our channel before, and we're so excited to have her on. But before we do that, we are going to get into some orders of business like we always do at the top of the show. We're going to ask you to get into your super chats if you have anything that you want read on air or any questions that you would like to ask us. We're going to ask you to leave a thumbs up on this video as well. It helps people find us in the algorithm. And this is the little show that could. It's two programs that are behind paywalls or at least on stream and not on cable. So it really, really helps us when you guys go out of your way to leave a thumbs up, leave a comment too. Let us know what you think of Astrid's debut on this channel. You guys are going to be in love with her by the end of it. I can almost guarantee it. Let us know what you're thinking about Ring of Honor. Let us know what you're thinking about TNA after their Under Siege special into this episode. And we're, of course, going to remind you to subscribe to FightfulSelect.com, where we broke the unfortunate news about Wheeler Yuta, who has been out with concussion symptoms for months, dating all the way back to January 10th when he had a match on AEW. So we have not seen him in the pure picture in a very long time. They're going to have to make a judgment call at some point what to do with the belt. Reminder that, like, he kind of got that belt because Shibata was out with an injury, and now Shibata is back. I'm going to say strap up Josh Woods is the easy answer, but more important than that, we just hope that Wheeler Yuta gets well from those concussion symptoms. Always scary when you have stuff going on with your brain and it's taking a while to heal, but we saw it with Adam Cole. We saw it with Adam Page. We've seen it all over the place. So best thoughts and healing to Wheeler Yuta. You can check out more on FightfulSelect.com. Most injury news goes on the free tier over there too. We just want to be abundantly clear that injury news, any news to do with sexual misconduct, including the sex trafficking investigation, releases, that kind of stuff always goes on the free tier because it's just kind of icky to pay. Well, in addition to that, the subscription tier for the $5 tier gets you absolutely loaded with all the scoops you could possibly want, as well as additional bonus podcasts. You get Sean's Q&A, which I always put over. You get me and Alex Pawlowski being absolutely unhinged behind the paywall for pay-per-views, as well as Raw episodes. And we also have our Discord there, where I was hanging out doing an ROH Q&A from 6:15 up until the show, and then the show was so short, I said, you know what, I'm going to stick around and watch with these guys, because I can just rewatch anything that I missed if I missed because I was too busy chatting. So head over to the Fightful Select Discord and get into a less toxic environment to talk about things if you are sick of hearing my boss and cheese be a hot topic of conversation. So we're going to dive in shortly, but before we do that, I just wanted to welcome Astrid to the channel. We haven't had her on here before. She's doing great work on her own channel, incredible work at Body Slam. She's got her little at right there. You can go and follow her on social media. But Astrid, feel free to tell people what you're up to these days. You had some really great interviews come out recently, and I just wanted to give you a chance because we hand this right off to the TNA crew, and we don't usually get a chance to do a ton of plugs.
Yeah, I'm working a lot of with Body Slam. I've had three episodes of my series, Astrid Ass, is coming up on that are already on a Body Slam's YouTube channel that are uploaded, and they get uploaded later on my YouTube channel too. So far I had The Real Deal, Say the Steel, The Stunner, Emily J. And, you know, even recently that we got the top tier, Jasmine Allure, and more coming up soon as well from that, hopefully. But yeah, a lot of writing and a lot of like interviews going to Body Slam from that. And usually I do a podcast on the side with that I mostly on my YouTube channel as well.
Very cool stuff. Be sure to check out those interviews and her work at Body Slam. She did a great piece a while back on the AEW women's division, which has since turned a corner, which is really refreshing, but some very sound criticisms in there. We got Ricardo saying, hi, Kate. Hi, Astrid. Nice to meet you. Well, thank you, Ricardo, for always being so supportive. This was a 50-minute episode, Astrid, so we got time to kill. I've done a lot of things on the show before. I've played Mad Libs. We've made a lot of silly jokes. But because you haven't been on here before, I thought I would just kind of take a little state of the ROH Union with you and get your thoughts on the product overall. It's definitely had some ups and downs. We've seen some foot on the gas, take the foot off the gas stuff. We've seen it be a women-centric brand for a lot of its existence under the Tony Khan umbrella. But what are your feelings overall as far as the growth of it and kind of where it is right now?
It almost feels like a roller coaster because I went to the Ring of Honor tapings in Orlando when they revamped it. So I was there for one of them. And I like how nice it was. And I compare it to what's happening here all the time because they just had a nice setup and everything was so cozy. And like, it felt very intimate in that aspect. And the crowd, everything from the crowd, it sounded so loud and it looked so full. I could barely get a seat. I had to get one towards the front that barely got because I got there that moment. It was so full. And I compared to CNN now here and just seeing like the crowd reactions are not the same. It doesn't feel as intimate. It almost feels like they did it before AEW. So like half of the arena is not even there either. It's not even filled. And even I saw it last week and just like a bunch of squash matches. I feel like most of the time feel like they go nowhere. So that's why it just feels like a roller coaster versus like there's moments like, for example, Athena and Billy who actually feel like they have some kind of direction. So it's like it just feels like it's like a little bit of both. So yeah. it's kind of in the middle for me right now.
It's definitely all over the place. And to your point about those Orlando tapings, it was so nice too because they had no choice but to think months out with creative because they were taping in batches. So you got like storylines that were forced to have logical progressions because they were forced to kind of sit in that time period where they were taping so far ahead. So I'm with you. It is kind of a bummer that these crowds are there to see AEW and not ROH. That's something that is very obvious between the pay-per-view crowds and the weekly TV crowds, right? Like the people going to a pay-per-view are there to see Ring of Honor. And so if you only watch the pay-per-views, you think ROH is like the hottest product in the world, but not always the case on the weekly tapings, right? People are there to see AEW. They're kind of the warm-up matches or the cool-down after those episodes are taped. So I agree with you. A little bit tricky. I'm very envious that you got to go to those Orlando tapings. You saw some of my favorite programs that they ever did there. Mm-hmm. So definitely with you on that. We get some love coming in from Jan Beard, who says, shout out to Sky and Rachel Elring and every female wrestler out there. Also, I don't think Joel Casey believes in Joe Hendry. Well, we're going to let him address that. I'm actually going to leave that chat in addition for him. But yeah, unfortunately, a really ugly part of what happens sometimes is that Sky Blue and it sounds like Saraya were harassed pretty intensely by somebody in the front row and to the point where other fans were yelling at him, which tells me they were being very, very gross about things. They were ejected eventually. It was a hot topic of conversation online today. I'm very thankful that I get to work at a place where I feel very safe and comfortable in wrestling media. It's unfortunate that, and it's not lost on me, that not everybody has that security and that safety, and certainly not in the actual wrestling world, not the wrestling media world, but wrestling in particular. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I wouldn't mess with someone who's dating Kyle Fletcher, though. I feel like you could probably kick that guy's ass to Tuesday. So really, really, really unfortunate stuff. Nobody deserves that. I don't care who they are, what gear they're in, if they have an OnlyFans, any of that nonsense that people will spew. Really, really unfortunate thing, but glad that they were removed. A shame that they're a father. That's gross. Don't need those people procreating and teaching kids poorly. But some more love from Tim McFowell saying that money for women in wrestling, what happened with Sky is unacceptable. Women's work, whether it's in the ring, on the mic, on podcasts, or anywhere else, needs to be respected. Thank you, too, for representing. Well, thank you for the support. It's very much appreciated. And, you know, it's funny. This came up earlier today of, like, do you want to do a women's panel on whatever? And sometimes just, Astrid, you've probably gotten asked these things too. I just get a little tired because I feel like the only people that are listening to the nuances of these conversations are people who don't need to hear them over all, and then like other times it just feels like you're talking to a brick wall. So I'm always interested in those things, and I do consider myself someone that likes to push those conversations forward, but sometimes I just get tired because I'm like, it's not our wonderful people in the chat that are the issue. It's not where I work that's an issue. It's people who know this is the wrong thing and go and do it anyway. But if you have any thoughts on any of the grossness that happened, feel free to speak on it, but just gross.
No, and I echo your sentiment because being in not only in Body Stamp but Orally podcast, it just, I, as a woman, I am not only showcased on a weekly basis, and we add female voices quite often. We highlight the female voices. Yes, we encourage them to talk and to, you know, speak up their minds and show them and get their voices out somehow. So I'm glad at least I'm in a place just like you that I'm not afraid in that aspect of like, I feel like I'm safe where I am. And people like, well, for example, with Orally, I have a group of people there that really care about me. And with Body Sam, I have SP3 and Cassidy who always look up.
Yeah.
You know, they back me up, and they when I text Cassidy with an idea or anything like that, he's always replying back to me within minutes and even, you know, encouraging me to pursue it. Like you said, the AEW women's division piece, I was afraid of even writing that because I was thinking I'm gonna get a lot of hate. Yep. And then he's like, don't worry about it, just write it. And it's like one of those things I told him, was like, it's not gonna get you any heat. And he's like, just write whatever you're feeling. I wrote it out, and I would say like 90% of it was positive, and I legit like cried basically from every feedback that I got that day. So it really encouraged me to keep going and keep trying with my writing. And even as a woman seeing this today, I'm glad that I have people like not only that I work with, but even friends and people in the community that felt the same way I did. So I feel like I didn't have to say much because they said it for me. I could just reshare what they said because we felt the same way. But it's just one of those things, like, if you don't tell the guys what to wear, why would you tell women what to wear? What's different from both of them? There shouldn't be. And this is one of those things, like, especially if you have a daughter, a wife, you have your mother, your grandmother, you have a female in your life, and you're going to tell her what to do. I don't think that it works that way. So it's like you have to realize that women are going to be who they are no matter what you say.
Yeah, I mean, Norma's saying, shout out to women, I have four sisters, F that guy. Yeah. Yep. I agree with you too. And I'll take a moment to reiterate that SP3 is one of the kindest people in this space. And Cass was the first person that reached out to me when I started at Fightful, and just was so kind to me and made me feel so safe because I was very aware when I started in this space of those challenges and the way that women can get treated by people. I never assume the worst about people, but I am always cautious in my interactions. Mm-hmm. And he, from the moment I started here, was so welcoming and warm and kind. And yeah, he'll mess someone up if they try and mess with you, Astrid. So you're in good hands there with the Body Slam crew. Some very good people also doing great work for women of color, especially too. I love seeing mm-hmm. them in your rotation. Mm-hmm. Really, really great. Really, really great stuff. But let's dive in to tonight's show. It was a 50-minute show, so I told Astrid before we went on, it was like, we're gonna have a lot to vamp about today, but mm-hmm. sometimes that's fun. I kind of like when we get a little bit of openness, but mm-hmm. we do start with this Matt Taven and Mike Bennett promo. They're cutting a promo on Cool Hand Angel and Daddy Magic, who came hunting last week in this cold open. Mm-hmm. Why do you have a rest of the tag division if the tag champs are just jumping in on two guys who made it known anyway? I love 2.0. I love the two of them. I love that Cool Hand feels like he has something to fight for being mm-hmm. a dad. Some harsh words from Taven and Bennett about being a letdown to your unborn child already. Yikes. Harsh stuff, but I feel like, why aren't we giving the infantry those shots? Why aren't we giving the Iron Savages those shots? Are the mm-hmm. Iron Savages actually a trio with Jack Jameson? Nobody can answer that for me. I'm confused what we're building teams for if it's not stuff like this. Maybe because this is an easy way for the Kingdom to retain. Like, maybe they're saving the infantry mm-hmm. to be the ones to dethrone them or something like that. But I just don't understand the point of the rest of your tag division if you're going to hotshot people from the main roster who haven't even been a tag team up there for months now, to come back down here and just immediately walk into the title picture. That's not how I like my wrestling. It feels very NXT-y to me, which is not my favorite booking. If you watch me on Tuesday nights, you know that. But I don't really get why we're not pursuing teams that are in the ROH tag division, and we're throwing mm-hmm. together a team that was kind of going in separate ways from AEW on the main roster. Mm-hmm. Not mad about seeing the match. I'm never mad about the in-ring we got mm-hmm. from these teams. But this promo was A, really mean, and B, I don't understand why they're walking right into the title picture here.
I noticed it too last week. It just felt like there was a few teams in between last week and tonight that were calling out shots towards them. And just like, okay, I'm thinking, I feel like it would have been nice to have, like, Tony Khan's a final tournaments. Why couldn't you just have a tournament with all these teams that are calling out Matt and Mike? Because I feel like there's so many of them and they only address 2.0. And there's so many other ones. Like you said, the Aaron Savage is another one. They call them out, but they only mention one team. They could be five or six other teams and they only mention one. And I feel like you could have kind of organized in a way some sort of tournament to end at the pay-per-view and then have the contenders face them at the pay-per-view and kind of highlight all the tag teams that have had their promos before, calling out their shot. And just like, and again, I thought about like, I thought 2.0 was really done at this point. And so it's like to see them coming out and just have a promo and just be like, oh, we're calling our shots. It's like, oh, I thought you were done, but okay.
Feels like it's for the Canada tour for sure. But like at the same time, you can't book just because you're in a place, right? Like, that just feels weird. Jan Beard saying, forget Fletcher being able to beat that guy up. Sky can do it herself. Look at her hardcore matches. Yeah, I didn't mean to undercut her own wherewithal, but I just feel like he would have gone and socked her while she was wrestling. She is a special talent, too. She's really, really grown in the time that we've seen her. They've given her a lot of reps to do that. But we're seeing really, really cool work out of Sky Blue, and it makes me very, very happy for her. Makes me very, very happy for her. But we move from that cold open to a match that honestly I felt like was more fun than it had any right to be. We get Taya Valkyrie, Diamante, and Mercedes Martinez against Layla Hirsch, Lady Frost, and Abaddon. I have no idea why that triggered my Amazon Echo. I apologize if you heard that in the background. Not sure which name got picked up to trigger the Miss Bliss's first name of all that, but I don't want to trigger it again. But this match was such a blast. We have Diamante getting Lady Frost up to the top rope and delivering a nasty flipping power bomb. I was a little nervous about the landing on that because it landed really, really, really hard, but she gets the pin. I'm going to turn it over to you to talk about first here. What did you think of this match? I'll throw my thoughts on after.
I thought it was kind of funny at first because Diamante and Layla, their gears almost looked like they were part of a team and they were actually opposite sides, and I couldn't think of that when I saw them. But what I like the most about this match is the highlight of Lady Frost. I feel like she got highlighted the most out of anybody on her team, and being able to see her like that, I really enjoy it. And other than that, it was like the other side, I was like, I feel like they really work really well together, and I really enjoy how they were working. I really was hoping they would last a little bit longer because I was enjoying it, and I feel like once I was enjoying it, it ended, unfortunately. But I love seeing Lady Frost getting showcased and highlighted a little bit more in this match. But that was my highlight more than anything.
Agreed. And what was kind of fun with Lady Frost is you have Taya Valkyrie, Diamante, and Mercedes Martinez, who get harder hitting as I talk about them. I feel like Taya can really bring the fight, but has some really cool acro in her. Diamante has like this very badass attitude and hard hitting demeanor about her. Mercedes in that same vein and even more brutal in some ways. Layla Hirsch has this more technical background, and Abaddon, we don't know what's going on with them. They have got a very cool style that's really developed, and their conditioning has gotten so much better, and more and more you're seeing more out of Abaddon, and I'm glad that they're being profiled and it's not just like hey, it's Halloween, come out and be spooky. Mm-hmm. Like, they are getting a chance to develop here. Lady Frost stands so alone and has such a distinct style than anybody else that I named, that it was really fun getting to see her show out in this match, because she was just contrasting against three very different people on the other side of things and doing very different things that even her teammates could do. So I appreciated that about this too. I'm a big Lady Frost gal. I love her so much. I get to see her in WrestlePro around here sometimes. She does some really great work in the Northeast. The Queen of Murder Gymnastics, as she is called, doing some great work in this, but a really fun opener. This one was also taped at Daily's place. So we did also get that aspect in this episode of the split broadcast. But those Daily Place energies are so much fun, especially when there's some daylight still out there. It's a really good time. Yeah. But we move on to Anthony Ogogo defeating Zicky Dice, who is back for the second week in a row, which is great to see. Zicky Dice, someone I've been a long-standing proponent of. I really love Zicky. I think he does a really wonderful job on screen. I loved him in NWA. I felt like he was drastically underutilized in Impact, now TNA. And then since he moved on from there, he hasn't really gotten the same momentum that he had, unfortunately. I would love to see him in ROH. I would love to see him on any TV screen. He feels to me like a TV wrestler. And even in a loss like this against Anthony Ogogo, that guy maximizes every second he's given with everything that he's got. Like, he will sell his ass off for you. He will go out of his way to make you look good. This ends with that knockout from Anthony Ogogo. And Anthony Ogogo, still a little newer in this, looked really good here. But I feel like contrasting off of someone like Zicky Dice, who is like, I know exactly how to make this guy look like he, A, shoot knocked me out, and B, how just to sell for him and pull out Anthony Ogogo's strength. I thought he did a really, really good job there. Love seeing Zicky on TV here. Would love to see him back up and around. Somebody get this man on my television. I think people only think of him as a character wrestler, but he trained at Black and Brave. He's really good in there. And I think that gets underrated because he's outlandish, baby. He's outlandish. Loved Ian and Caprice on this too. Ian or Caprice talking about anytime this guy rolls the dice, watch out. Like, some good stuff. They mentioned the band he was in right before Ogogo went for his throat too. They were like, he's a vocalist. And I think Heart Have Heart or something. I can't remember the name of the band off the top of my head. But then Ogogo immediately goes for his throat. I was like, that is just beautifully synchronistic. But I thought this match was exactly what it needed to be. More Zicky Dice on my television. If I could get Zicky Dice and Bad Dude Tito back in here, that would make me very, very happy. Give me those two dudes more often. But what did you think of this match?
Yeah, it's like we're in that moment that Anthony needs that highlight, and this worked in this aspect. It's one of those that I'm not mad about being a squash match. Unlike last week, we had a bunch of them. But I'm glad this was one of those, like, it was okay being it for this type, for this scenario, to put it like that. But I kept thinking, it's like, Zicky, I was so glad when he was in TNA, because even though it was inconsistent, at least he was there on TV often. And it's like, yeah, whether he was in the ring or backstage, he was there, his presence was there somehow. So to see him here and, like, being that he was joining an AEW / Ring of Honor, and so far we've only seen him twice, it's like, I feel like I prefer having you in TNA than where you were, because at least I saw you very quite yeah, often somehow compared to this. Because I'm like, I'm glad I saw you, but just as I saw you, you just left my screen like that. And he's very entertaining. That's one thing I like about him. And just, like, he's one of those people, like, it's kind of like an R-Truth in that type of way. He's not afraid to look ridiculous to entertain you. And you can see that a lot of people are not like that, and he is. And I'm glad he is. Just when you see that and it clicks for you, it just, you can't unsee it. He has that timing that is very well done for him. And in that entertainment aspect, I just love from him.
I do too. I'm also a big Zicky Dice gal. I'm with you on that. Very happy to see him popping up here. And to your point, just a very entertaining dude. Like, there's never a time that guy's on screen and for a second of what he's doing, I'm like, checked out or bored. He's a good one. Let's keep him in the rotation. Love seeing Zicky Dice here. And I also love that on the other side of this, Anthony Ogogo, we're going to talk about his promo here in a second, but him winning by knockout with that punch, of all the people that were going to add to Shane Taylor Promotions, this guy was not on my radar because he hadn't been on screen in so long. I feel like could not be a more perfect move. Could not be a more perfect move. Like, the knockout thing is so great because he has that in common with Shane Taylor, but his personality is very different otherwise. And then you have Lee Moriarty, who has this, people always call him a technical wrestler, and I feel like he has a very technical foundation mixed in with a very well-rounded repertoire of other things. Like, you could also say he was a high flyer. That would also be true because he also does high flyer things, right? But him being almost everything else but power and strength makes this trio so interesting to me. And Anthony Ogogo giving this promo after having this list of accomplishments about the Olympics and everything that he's done both inside and outside of AEW, WWE. AEW and ROH. That what I just said could set the internet on fire. Saying AEWWE, people won't know what to do with themselves. But talking about Shane Taylor Promotions and joining it too, like, I really, really like this combination of guys. Mm-hmm. You have this British dickhead. You have Shane Taylor, who's going to knock you out and is just an absolute badass. And then you have Lee Moriarty, who, he's Tiger style, man. He's so cool and so different in the ring. What a great way to have these three guys come together. How are you feeling about Shane Taylor Promotions? I buy them as a viable trio and would love to see them challenge for the belts at some point in this Bullet Club Gold Ring.
And I like it because, like you said, it's just a difference in styles. Because if you think about it this way, if they were put in a tag team, they could easily cover at least two other styles within the ring, whoever they're facing. They kind of remind me that way of like BCC, because they have different people with different styles that I feel like they cover a lot of it in that aspect. And like you said, it's like my mind never crossed about him having Anthony join, because he was gone after the Cody thing. I think that's the last time I saw him, at least. So I was like, I feel like he had a lot of momentum on that aspect, because a lot of people were like, who is this guy going against Cody? Why is he going against Cody? And then everything happened with Cody and it went downhill from there, because we didn't see him after. So I never would have thought about him joining whatsoever. I just hope that they get highlighted a little bit more often. And I would like to see them more like tag team and trios matches, and to see what their style is like when they're together, because they all have different styles versus whoever is on the other side. So that's something that I'm looking forward to seeing more often from them, because I like the presentation from them so far.
I like what you said there, because that was one of my favorite things about House of Black, was like, it still is that Malakai Black feels so different from Buddy, feels so different from Brody. And I feel like Anthony Ogogo feels different from Shane Taylor, feels different from Lee. So it kind of paints the picture in your head that if you're on the other side, you can't really prepare for anybody, because you just don't know what's going to get thrown at you. So completely with you on that. Well, we move on to this promo from Rachel Elring that gets interrupted by Maria Kanellis. And Maria Kanellis, how dare you? Okay? How dare you? Because Rachel Elring is just talking about how, you know what, from kind of the bottom and going back to the bottom, you can only build back up. Kind of the positives of where she's at. If you have nothing, you can rebuild everything, right? And then she's interrupted by Maria, who says the most hypocritical things for everything she's been fighting for her entire career. Maria, we've seen you. We know who you are. She talks about the tournament that she created. She talks about everything she's done for women's wrestling. And she says out of all of that she's learned, and I'm not kidding, women's wrestling can't sell, and least of all you, Rachel Elring, with what you've got. Maria Kanellis! That is not nice. And I know you're not very nice, because I've seen your tricks before, Maria Kanellis. But this, you're literally undercutting your own accomplishments. This conclusion that you've drawn from all your hard work, I don't buy it, Maria Kanellis. This whole brand is a women's wrestling brand now. And Rachel Elring's an important part of it. Realistically, I loved this, actually. I think this is an awesome turn for Maria. She has her little boys, right? I like her getting mixed back up in this. And I feel like she is somewhat underutilized. And I'm not saying that she's underutilized in the angles that she's in. I mean, as a force in wrestling, why she's not out there doing PR for AEW and ROH, I don't know. Anytime I've talked to her, anytime I've seen her speak about the ROH brand, anytime she's tweeted about AEW, it's about what a great place it is to work. She should be out doing interviews, like, all the time. They need to fill houses. Listen to this woman talk about ROH and AEW and tell me you don't want to go to a show. But anyway, this promo, I think, is a fun and interesting direction for her to go. I'm interested to see where it unfolds. But it was very mean. It was very mean to Rachel Elring. What did you think? This is very, very different than anything we've gotten out of Maria before, because she's the opposite, right?
Yeah. It's ironic, because even as a heel, when she named all those things and said at the end that women's wrestling doesn't sell tickets, I didn't believe her. You know what I mean? Just like, because you know what she's like. So when
like,
she said,
I know I went, you.
No, that doesn't work for me, first of all. And second of all, I don't believe a word you just said, because everything you just said, it's literally the reason why women's wrestling sells tickets. So it's like, it's coming back to you in the end. So when she said it, definitely thought about it. And she's like, no, this is definitely no. First of all, no, it's a big no-no. And second, I still don't believe you, even as a heel. This is one of those moments that I went, I don't believe what you're selling me right now, because I really don't. And it's when you think about it that way, I feel like Maria, in that aspect, is one of those people that she doesn't get named often when it comes to women's wrestling, like as a whole, not even just the wrestling aspect. Because she even said it, you know, the fact that she was part of the Ring of Honor before everything happened, before and before the break happened in Ring of Honor. Part of the, like, having like Roxanne be champion in that tournament and having people like Chelsea come in and even having Women's Wrestling Army. So those are things that people don't think about. It's like, here's a woman starting a women's wrestling promotion and starting it, like being a part of probably like the creative behind the scenes aspect of it too. And who knows what else she's done behind the scenes in AEW and Ring of Honor, because we don't know everything that she does. But like you said, it just the fact that she doesn't get to speak about it often, it just it feels like lackluster in that aspect. Because I feel like she can do more for that. And we've seen it. Like she's, you know, with her promotion and everything, we've seen it happen. And it's something like we've seen it before, so I'm sure she can keep doing it again. So that's why when she said it, I just didn't believe her at all, no matter what. Even in character wise, I just like, no, I'm not buying that at all.
I like that. I like that you were like, I've seen you do too much good that I can't buy the bad. If you're not going to buy the bad, it's a good reason. So I like that you said, hey, women's wrestling does sell. And also, Maria, I know that you know that. That's some good stuff. Yes, Women's Wrestling Army is the child of Maria Kanellis. That was just a really, really cool presentation for women's wrestling. Thunder Rosa also has her women's promotion, so it does sell. There's some really great promotions out there, Miss Maria. And Astrid's not buying it, okay? She's not buying it one bit. We have a lot more people watching now than we did at the beginning of the show, so I will just remind you, if there's anything you want to talk about, get in those super chats. I'll also ask you to leave a thumbs up on this video as well. Really, really helps people find us in this little ROH and Impact TNA world. And we will also remind you to subscribe to Fightful Select. I did a Q&A on the Discord there. We talked about a lot. We talked about a ton of stuff with ROH. The second question in there was what happened to the Samoa Joe Zack Sabre Jr. angle. My heart is still broken about that on a daily basis, but we ended up fantasy booking ZSJ versus Nigel McGuinness at Wembley, which was a super fun thing. Lots of stuff. We talked about lots of stuff in there in the 45 minutes that I was in there. So subscribe to Fightful Select. We're doing fun stuff like that, in addition to all the scoops that you can get your hands on, including that unfortunate Wheeler Yuta news, concussion-like symptoms for months. But we move along here to Kira Hogan defeating and Ashley returning. What is wrong with me today? Returning Ashley Diamboss. Excuse me, sorry. Very nice to see her back in action. It's been a little bit. I loved the story that we got here, which was Ashley seeming to find openings for offense, but Kira Hogan's strength and power just not really putting her in any danger here. She's being made to stay strong, and I like that. Kira Hogan should feel like a contender. She's too charismatic and too awesome in the ring not to. What did you think of this match?
I really love that part about Ashley, that the fact that she came with a plan in mind. And when she started, she was not having Kira with any breathers. She's like, if the way I can grab you is like I keep moving and moving, and you won't have a time to even think about what to do next because I have you with something else coming up. And I really like that part. And they even highlighted during commentary too, it's like how she came and she was very aggressive and very vicious as she was going against Kira, and she was not stopping. But once that Kira had that opportunity, she definitely just turned the tables on her to the point that she was able to get that victory there. But it's nice to see somebody that isn't from the usual talent, because if this aspect usually would, usually in most matches it would have been Kira taking over from the beginning and just winning the match. But I like the fact that they gave us kind of that little doubt and made me think of like, is Ashley going to be able to like actually win this match? And I like that you made me like think about it, like it could actually happen because of the way she was working the match. But in the end, obviously Kira being the one in AEW and in Ring of Honor highlighted more often, she's the one that got the victory.
Yeah, and especially in a return match, you were like, oh, are they going to give her the upset win here? There were some pockets that made you think that. But this was, I really liked this. You had a pin with a huge drop suplex in here. A really, really nice shotgun drop kick in this as well from Kira Hogan. So Very, very nice match here. Love how much women's wrestling there is on ROH. We get to say it every week. It's really refreshing. And it continues to be a very women's centric brand. Then move along to, I don't know what this is. I need to sit in it a little bit longer before I make any judgments, because this Nick Camarado and Jacoby Watts thing is confusing to me. He says how much he's believing in Jacoby Watts. Jacoby comes into the frame to join him, and praise be to him. Like, I don't know. Like, I just don't know. Like, I'm not saying it's bad. I don't know yet. We've seen so many iterations of Nick Camarado. I just want them to have one and stick to it. I actually think Nick Camarado would be great for the Jericho learning tree if they wanted to pull him up. I think Big Bill and Nick Camarado and maybe someone a little bit younger would be good, but he has a really big personality. He's a big ass dude. He's fun to watch in the ring when you let him off the rope. I think Nick Camarado under the learning tree would be an ace's call for Jericho. If you're going to make me watch that, I don't want to, but if you're going to at least do something productive with that angle, yes, like put a Nick Camarado in there. But I think it could be fun. I just don't know what the hell this is, to be honest. I'm so, this weird biblical thing has me all thrown off, Astrid. What were your thoughts on this?
I was going to ask you, I was like, can you explain this to me? Because I, first of all, I'm still not used to seeing Nick in this way. I'm still seeing him the way he used to look. So the first time I saw him, it took me a moment to realize it was him, and I'm still getting used to the way he looks now, to the point that sometimes it takes me a moment to realize it's him when I see him. And then the second happens, and I just kept thinking, I hope he has more information about this, because I don't know what just happened. I really had no idea. I was like, there was nothing about this last week when I saw it. So I was like, wow, that is very interesting. I was like, I don't know if they're doing some kind of, it almost looked kind of like a cult sort of thing. And then like Nick was kind of joining him, but I wasn't sure based on the wording. I really don't know what happened here, to be honest.
It is weird. It is weird. But you know what? I'm here for a little weird. I'm here to get a little crazy. I don't mind it. I don't mind it. We got some more chats coming in. Thank you, Shane Monster says, hey, Astrid. Hey, TMD Kate. It's the nicest thing anyone's ever called me. Thank you so much. Love those guys. Digging the Premier Athletes refresh. Great video packages and now a clear direction. Woods versus Chicken has some potential to be good. I'm going to cut to that real quick because I did find it interesting. We get this vignette. I really like this direction for Mark Sterling. We know he's great at the comedy stuff. We know he has this big personality and is so much fun. I like seeing a little bit more grounded approach. It's a nice contrast, and I like all three of these guys. I love Josh Woods, and I really like Tony Nese and Arya Daivari. And they call out different teams in ROH for Tony Nese and Arya Daivari and declare that they deserve a Ring of Honor World Tag Shot. So like we were kind of saying in the beginning, got a lot of tag teams going around. Not sure why we rebooted 2.0, but okay. And then Josh Woods saying he has his eyes on the Ring of Honor Championship. That will be a great loss. And then Josh Woods should go be the pure champion. Like, if Wheeler Yuta is unfortunately still going to be out, he's just got to vacate the title. This program, week over week, is too starved for champions for you not to have your specialty champion on the show. It just doesn't work. The whole division disappeared when Wheeler Yuta went away. Let's bring back pure wrestling to ROH. It'll give me something to smile about every week, and every card should be booked exclusively for me. But Chicken versus Woods should be great, because Woods being the technical beast, I think will bring out a really, really fun side of Mark. But he still has that beast side too. He can hang with some redneck kung fu. He knows what he's doing in there. He can survive a J-Driller. Like, it's possible. So what did you think of this vignette and the tag team challenge? I like that they're being made to feel important off the bat here.
Have you guys seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt, staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looked more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix it with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike the other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade, has hundreds of five-star reviews. I love the taste of this. I love the way that I feel after drinking it. I've never felt better. My digestion is smoother. Body looks leaner. I have energy all day. I just feel younger. And the flavor is so much better than other green drinks. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/Fightful for up to 44% off your regular price order. Every purchase is packed with a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, boost of energy, and overall a healthier body, go to roundhouseprovisions.com/Fightful today.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely like the Harlow, like you said. It's like, I'm used to seeing Sterling and those kind of comedy things. So like to see him something serious and focused on each one of the guys. Somehow I like how he's like, this one, I want them for this title, and this tag team for this title. And I like how they have, like, they know what they want. And you can see it, where, like, they have their intentions clear within this promo. And this is what I like the most about it, is that focus on them there. And again, it's like one thing that I don't want to say it bothers me, but it does bother me about Tony Khan. It's like, if you know somebody like Willow Yuta right now, it's going to be out for a while. And it happened with Thunder Rosa too. It's like, if you know they're going to be out for more than a month at that point, just try to vacate the title, maybe do a tournament to give everybody a fair shot to be a champion and to still have that championship be visible. Because right now, even I wouldn't mind Josh Woods being a pure champion, but obviously we don't have Wheeler there. So I feel like that would have been an interesting start for this group to get a championship like that. And it would have been nice to maybe have a tournament with all the guys that you see that could be part of this division. And give us a new champion there, because clearly he's not being highlighted at the moment. So highlight it somehow instead of just waiting for Wheeler to come back. I'm like, how long is that going to be? And it's like it happened with Thunder Rosa too. We had, you know, so long before he decided to change it. And it's like, I don't know why he decides to wait so long. I would just say after a certain amount of days, just cut it off and do something else to get new champions. And I feel like Josh could be a good face for that pure championship right now.
I agree with you, and especially the pure title, because it's like a specialty thing, right? It's not just like, well, our world champion is out for a little bit, but we still have a TV title and this, that, and the other. There's like a whole stipulation that sits with this. So it kind of really takes the wind out of the sails of an integral piece of the identity of ROH when your pure champion is out. Me, Norma, saying Nick Camarado needs to be in the Tony D family. Hey, I love the Tony D family over on NXT. Very fun stuff that they're doing with Luca Crucifino right now, though. So I'm good with my Tony D family being that and Nick Camarado doing what he's doing. But what is this weird Jacoby Watts thing? We will find out. We will find out. Guys, please leave a thumbs up on this video as we continue down the mountain here. We've got the Righteous and Nikki 8, Tommy Mars, and Lee on the other side of this. I hope I got those three guys right. I love when indie talent gets spotlighted on the show. I hate when I don't know the names or get them wrong. So bear with me if those are incorrect, but I think I got them right. This was very fun. It was short-lived, but this kind of should be. Like, for this trio to work with the Righteous, and I really love what they're doing, they should be extremely dominant. All three of them, pillar to post. You get Archer hitting the blackout. Anytime you use your opponent as a weapon, I'm in on whatever you're doing. That's just like a thing for me. If you use your opponent to slam a guy into another guy, I'm so in, because that's what I call two for the price of one. Okay, that is efficient. That is a buy one, get one on slamming your opponents. I'm so in on that. And then you get Vincent getting the pin. This was very, very fun. I really want to see this trio versus Bullet Club Gold. I don't want to see it for another 5 months, because I want them to be the ones to take it off of them. I know people are like fantasy booking the Elite and Shane Taylor Promotions or whatever. You want to make a badass trio that deserves it. Lance Archer, who has been there a very long time and never really gotten his due, does great stuff in New Japan, so I get it. If you go away and come back a lot, like, it's hard to get you on a track. But he does wonderful work And the Righteous are awesome. They've been awesome in ROH for a long time. They have a really, really special place in, like, spooky weirdo world, and that they're not supernatural, but they have this mm-hmm. kind of delusional thing about them. I love this trio so much, and I want the best for them. But a dominant win here. What are your thoughts?
The other thing, I wish I would have put at least a nameplate for the people, because, like you said, I like how indie talent gets, you know, we like them having showcased, but I like to know who they are. And it's like not even having the nameplate, and they kind of debated on what the names were too. They weren't even sure at the beginning. It's like, that doesn't help me. I like to know who the people are on the other side, even if it's a squash. I really don't care, because who knows who we'll see them later down the line. But again, this is one of those instances that the squash, it really does work for this team. Especially when you get like the guys that are like obviously quite smaller than that, it does make sense for them to beat them up as fast as they did. Really excited for them because I like the Righteous too, and this combination with Lance, it just feels like gold. I really want them to be champion somehow, and I'm really excited because if I got my math right, not this weekend, but the next weekend, I'll be able to meet Vincent at Spooky Empire. Now that you said Spooky, in Orlando, so that's exciting for me. So when I saw this, I went, yes, this is exactly that my lane.
Okay, if you guys love kayfabe, close your ears and eyes. This is not for you, okay? Vincent is one of the nicest people in the world. Like, he just is. He's so wonderful in any interaction that I've had with him. When Ring of Honor was headed to what was their final battle before AEW, he said, aside tickets for my friends who have an independent podcast and me, just because they spotlighted a bunch of talent over the years. He's been so, 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 so kind. And he's one of those guys that I don't know anybody with a bad word to say about him. And I just like it when people like that get rewarded with contracts or TV time or titles. And he deserves all three. I love Vincent. You're going to have so much fun running into him in Spooky Town. But okay, if you love kayfabe, you can come back. You can come back to the show. But we move on to our Proving Ground match, and I have no idea why the hell this wasn't the main event, since it was the only thing with stakes on the card, and it is held by a women's champion and a new women's champion at that. What are we doing? You can edit this show. You did edit this show. It was taped in multiple venues. Come on, man. What are we doing? But Billy Sargs versus Dream Girl Ellie, and for the love of God, can someone who's in a Proving Ground match prove their ground? It's never happened. It's never going to happen again. What is the point of a stipulation? But Dream Girl Ellie loses to just a basic neckbreaker in this. She's great, and she's had some really strong showings, and I kind of wish she did prove her ground, because she could still lose. It's just another title shot. But eventually someone's got to break through, whether it's somebody that is a part of the roster or not. Like, this is so stupid to have a stipulation for like 2 years where nobody does the thing. Like, it would be like if you were like, we had 8 steel cage matches and they were all, nobody used the cage. They just were all through lattice work. Like, what are we doing with your Proving Ground matches if you're not going to use the stipulation? So that's just really annoying to me. Mm-hmm. The positives of this, Billy Starks is setting more and more comfortably into this heel role. She was babyface and then kind of tweener for a while and then has had this heel turn. She's sitting nicely in it. I think it's going to create some interesting competitors for her, because I think there's some very cool options on the babyface side. I think Queen Amanada's not going anywhere for a while. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. Dream Girl Ellie has looked very, very good in her appearances on here. Her previous appearances in ROH, I've seen some of her indie work. She's very, very good. I just wish they let her last the 10 minutes, man. Like, then have another title shot. Like, it doesn't have to be on a pay-per-view. I guess because they're making towns, you don't really know who's going to be available. But, like, do something. Do something with a Proving Ground match, or don't have the stipulation. Mm-hmm. Because you could just as easily keep getting Billy Stark's regular wins. It's becoming the boy who cried wolf with Proving Grounds for me at this point. But really like what we got out of Billy here. Love what we're getting out of Minion Training, or Minion Academy, really. And Athena has been the workhorse for so long. I'm glad that they're kind of making her reps a little bit more precious and having her in this guidance role. That out there fighting every single week. One, because physically she could probably use a break. I'm just assuming, because it's a very punishing thing to do to your body. And two, her reign is so established that you can't keep running her out there, or it's going to start to feel less special. Like, you're in danger of that. So I'm glad they've kind of pulled that back. And I'm intrigued to see what happens. I think you could very easily still see Billy Starks be the one to dethrone her. But we'll see. But going back to tonight, what did you think of our Proving Ground match between Billy Starks and Dreamgirl Ellie?
Yeah, like you said, like, I like Ellie a lot too. But I feel like, for example, if you're going to do, just to give an idea, if last week was in the Jacksonville taping, and this week too, you could have maybe this match last week, have the Proving Ground, have her winning, and this week she gets a title shot. You have more than one taping in when you go to these cities most of the time. So it's like, if you're going to have a Proving Ground, you can at least do one when the person wins or does a Proving Ground. And then the next week they get the title shot right away. And I feel like it's continuity to what we had the previous week. So just like, I think it gives it a little bit more of a point. And that way you can see that person getting highlighted not once, but twice. And I feel like this is one of those that I would have liked for Ellie to get that shot. I feel like it would have been nice for her to have it. And I was just disappointed in the fact that I was like, yeah, what's the point of you putting that stipulation if you're not going to use it? It feels like, it just feels silly at this point. And like you said, I like, again, Billy getting into more and more into this character. She's one of those, she reminds me of like Bailey in that aspect, because I kept thinking, I'm not going to believe you as a heel. But little by little, I keep buying it more and more. And it's like, give me more, because what you've given me, I've loved so far. And you made such a great progress that I want to see more from you. And it's not at the point that I'm like, it just feels incredible, the progress that she's made. And I love it so much. And even at one point, she was talking to the referee while she was actually kicking Ellie at the same time. And I love how the visual of like doing her what? Thing in the front, but she what? Wasn't doing something here too. What? I didn't do anything. So it just that moment of her, it feels like kind of like a little bit of what she's like before, kind of being innocent, but also being a heel at the same time. So I like the mix there where she did something like that. It seems silly, but it's at the same time just a nice mixture there. But I like what she's doing as a heel. I love being able to see her getting highlighted in this way, the way she is, the way she's been with Athena. The only thing, like you said, is like, I kept thinking like she was going to throw on Athena. Maybe in the future we'll see that happen. I feel like that will be like that exclamation point to end this whole story and wrap it up with a pretty little bow. But for now, it's like, I think like Queen Amidala will be the one that's like going around the corner. And you have people like Kira who's getting momentum every now and then as well. So it's those are the two girls that I kind of see probably going in the future against Billy.
Yeah, this is a very strong division, and I am all for bring Athena up to the main roster, but it is crowded there right now, and you don't want to waste it, right? You don't want to bring up Athena unless you have a specific program and a spot for her on the main roster. And the other thing is, realistically, from a business side, they're in a rights renewal deal. If they're going to try and get TV for ROH, she's been the brand. She's been the face of the brand, so you're probably not going to want to dethrone her until that's secured. Because what are you going to point to if not her? So I'm with you, though. I love this Bailey heel, or this Bailey heel turn, this Billy heel turn. I loved the Bailey comparison that you made, because it is like, you feel so natural in this role, but getting to explore this other side of you, like, let's see what that looks like, especially someone as young as Billy Starks is, right? So definitely getting to see more and more of her showing out. But we move along to our main event already, which means you and I are going to play tic-tac-toe or some bullshit. I don't know. We're gonna figure it out. But before we do, we're going to hear from our friends at Blue Chew real quick. If you found this 50-minute episode boring, wait until you hear this read from Sean.
Hello. Do you have a limp penis? A difficulty getting it erect? Boy, do I have a product for you. BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL will help fix that. BlueChew has the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. But they work a lot faster because it's a chewable. It's also much more affordable. Use that promo code FIGHTFUL. Get your first shipment free. Just pay $5 shipping. One of the best parts, it's discreet. No awkward in-person doctor's visits. You don't have to go to the pharmacy. It ships straight to your door when approved by an online physician. You want to check this out. It will help you. It is a good product. It will make your sex life better. BlueChew.com, the code FIGHTFUL.
So weird. It's such a weird read. But
it's just like, I mean, it'll help you. That's the use case I can't.
It's listed in our ad reads as Bluetooth boring. Like, he has like all these different ones. Our Tuesday one is all about like being developmental and whatever because it's NXT. But this one, we played the boring one because it was a 50-minute episode of this show, but not a bad episode. I will say, I much prefer episodes that are closer to an hour of matches that matter than 2 hours where 1 hour is a bunch of nonsense. Like, I definitely prefer that. Are you the same way? Or are you someone who's like, nah, just give me more wrestling. The more wrestling, the better. Or maybe a happy medium. I don't know.
Yeah, I was going to say, but I can be in between because I watched it last week and it was about 50 minutes or something, 45 to 50 minutes. And it was seven or six squash matches. And at that point, it just made me think of like, is this what we're watching all the time? This is what I'm paying $10 for. Yeah, it's just like, right? It's one of those things like we said it earlier, there's some instances it does make sense when you are squash. Like we have with Righteous and Lens, you know, they're a powerful team. You want to make them look powerful. But if it happens like back to back and it's like three matches in a row and they're all squashes that end in less than 5 minutes, it's like, what is happening here? It makes me think like you don't have a plan for what's happening here. You're just learning on the fly, unless it's stuff like Athena and Billy that it's getting built up in a certain way, but everything else felt like it didn't make sense. And it's like, if I watch it, I want to be able to kind of, I feel like I'm a book lover. If to me, it has to be like a story to the point like, this week I get something, next week it's a new chapter. You know, continue it that way. And I'll compare it to my books. It's like, if you don't continue the story and you go from one chapter and you give me a pause and then you go on a different book and then we have this mixture of books together, I don't know if I like that.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Give me some context as to why these people are beating each other up in the ring. Even if the context for it is just something that somebody's getting called out or... like Ethan Page was doing a lot of really good stuff too, of like, it wasn't about the story between two people necessarily, but it did aid in an overall character arc. And that is always helpful. But our main event is Angelico and Serpentico versus Griff Garrison and Cole Carter, of course, managed by Maria Kanellis. You got to assume Garrison and Carter are coming for her husband's team at some point in this. But Angelico able to wrap Carter up into a pinning cradle and getting the win here. Maria very upset about this. She's frustrated by the loss. And threw Serpentico his mask back. This is all to trick. And Carter and Garrison attack them and steal the mask back. Lot of mask lore going on in this angle. This was the grudgiest little grudge match. This was fine. It's just not clicking for me with Garrison and Carter. It's just not. And I feel bad because I think we're still seeing improvement from them. Griff Garrison, I think, is actually great. It just feels like he needs a little more snap or a little more confidence or whatever. Carter, I just like, I don't think this is clicked in. I don't think it's necessarily clicked in with Maria. Like, this angle has just never really felt right to me. The MILF thing was weird. Like, it's just not, it's not for me from a taste perspective, but I also don't think it's been productive necessarily from the perspective of making Cole Carter and Griff Garrison feel important. I think it's helped them grow with Maria. Like, I think she's doing good work and helping them break out of their shells a little bit. But I don't know. It doesn't feel like I've been able to buy them as a viable tag team. What were your thoughts on our main event? I think Angelico continues to be one of the best and underrated wrestlers in the world in AEW. He's fantastic.
He's so fun, yeah. But I know I feel the same way about Griff and Cole. Just Griff reminds me a lot of Jungle Boy when he started, to the point that, like, yeah, he's a good guy and we cheer for him, but we feel like we don't see his personality often. And I feel like maybe that doesn't help him click with the audience and what he's doing character-wise. So I feel like he needs some type of, I don't want to say a heel turn or anything like that, because he feels like they're supposed to be like a heel team, but he doesn't feel like it. He feels more like a face in with him and Cole. Cole feels more like the heel in the team. So I would like something here to click for him to make that change to the point that he has a connection with the crowd. And I feel like that will help him out a lot too. And them as a team, I just don't buy it, because I feel like I know they have grown, but I feel like together they just don't mix for me for some reason. I can never see them together and be like, oh yeah, they're a great team, and I can see them growing together into it. I just don't see it. And I don't know if it's the part with Maria or like Bolton, but it feels like they're so different that I feel like they belong together in any way, shape, or form. It's not like those people like kind of like enemies that you feel like and end up being friends and then they end up growing together like that. I don't see that happening. For me, Cole could be more of a single guy. He could be maybe somebody for the peer division, somebody they can highlight a little bit more like that, and have him embrace being a heel versus I feel like Griff could embrace being a face, and I feel like kind of separate them in that sort of way sometime soon. Is that just because they're two younger guys and they're kind of starting out doesn't mean you kind of go, you can go together because you're doing the same thing. It's like, yeah, but they're going in different directions at the same time because of the characters. So for me, even from the get-go, this with Maria hasn't clicked. I seen them grow, yeah, and when it comes to like the wrestling and the chemistry together. But at the same time, there's something like it doesn't fit. And again, the MILF thing for me, it's not a thing for me either. So it's like, it's not other things. Like those two things for me, just like a big no-no. So I definitely wish it would kind of find a way to part ways with each other and highlight each other in different ways. But I like the part of like using the mask as a trick in that aspect of like, here the mask and then they concentrate on it and that's enough for them to get the attack on. But other than that, I was like, I feel Maria could easily be some kind of, I don't want to say like a manager, but kind of do something for the women's division, kind of be in charge of it in a way, like the way they used to have her do. I feel like that would be something that would be good for her because she does great with her talking, and I love seeing her talk and everything. But it just,
well, she doesn't believe in women's wrestling anymore.
Yeah, I feel like she would have been like a great kind of ambassador kind of for the women's division. Like it's sure. Something that I would have liked to see, kind of like a general manager type of role almost. So something I would like to see, just to see her talk more often. But again, I was like, what are we going to do if these two end up going against Matt and Mike sometime soon? It's like, that will be awkward.
Yeah, I think that's probably what we're leading to. But I agree with you from the perspective of it does definitely feel as though they're two singles guys that got put together rather than like we're a tag team. And they kind of haven't unlocked whatever the connection is there. And I think Maria's doing her best. But I think they've still got a lot of work ahead of them for them to feel like they should be facing your tag team champions, if that makes sense. So, So that's our episode of ROH. We've got time to filibuster, not too much. I'm actually impressed with how much we dragged this out. I'm not going to lie. I think we did good considering we're coming up on 10 o'clock. But Astrid, that also gives us a little bit of time to talk about your work and wrestling in general. You said you talked to Jasmine Allure. Anything that you
want to
highlight from that interview?
Oh, I think definitely a lot of things that I like to highlight is being that I'm from Puerto Rico. I was born and raised in Puerto Rico and then moved to the U.S. a little bit later. I like to highlight those people that kind of have that similar representation of like, not only, I don't want to say immigrant because I'm not an immigrant, but that's sort of a story. And the fact that we come from a place that is Hispanic and we have a certain culture and then the changing culture that we have. And not only that, but representation, that's something that's very big for me. Just to see, like, for example, me seeing all the Puerto Ricans getting highlighted now is something that I love to see. Like, having Damian win, that was a moment for me that I cried my eyes out when it happened. So, talking to Jasmine, I wanted to highlight that with her and that representation of her being a Mexican and the fact that she got influenced a lot of people by, like, Sasha Banks and AJ Lee and things like that. It's like the way that women influence women, not only now, but in the future, too. And just nice to see that. So, something that I really wanted to highlight with her and the fact that she was in Mission Pro and she has learned from Thunder Rosa there too, her background, and while facing Izzy, having Izzy's first match in Mission Pro. So things like that I always like to talk about, especially about representation there. And I'm glad I was able to discuss that with her. It's not often that you get to have a similar background to somebody and talk about it like that. So it was nice to be able to talk about that with her and having those similar type of backgrounds and the fact that we want to improve our families and we're told, you know, go to college and do better than us. And, you know, that mindset of like, if you go to college, you can kind of get out of where we are, improve your life. And that's how it's always seemed. And I understand where she's coming from because I had a similar background to that too. And the fact of like, here, I'm going to take care of my family in this because they took care of me before. So something like we have a lot of cultural like similarities in that too. So it's nice to discuss that with her there.
That's really cool. I love that you got that chance to talk to her. And I love Jasmine Allure. I'm a big fan of hers. I would like to see her. And Miranda Alizé was another one that I felt like could jump up this division a little bit. We saw like J-Rod and a couple of other people come in the tournament. But I think those two are ready to sign a contract. Same with Hyann. There's a few that are sniffing around right now. Well, that's awesome. I love that you got to do that. We're going to have the TNA crew on here in just a moment. Are you up on the TNA product at all?
Yes and no, because I feel like I watch it a little bit later than most people because I'm usually waking up around this time after my nap. I have long days at work and I wake up early. But yeah, I watch it often, the fact that I got my membership on YouTube so I can watch it at that time. And when they come to Orlando or Kissimmee area, I go so far, and they have done it like I think 2, maybe 3 years in a row at this point. So I've been able to go as media to all the shows, and I bring my dad with me because he's the one that really brought me into wrestling. So it's nice to be able to like tell him, it's like, this time I don't have to pay for it. I get it in for free. Here you go. You come with me. So
it's nice to,
it's always a good opportunity too, because I get to meet the people. They have meet and greets before the show and after the show both days. So it's always nice to meet the people that I get to see on TV. It was such a time that I only went to WrestleMania and I didn't go to any like shows, and then COVID happened. So there was a moment in time that I didn't go to any shows. So I didn't get to meet the people that I was watching live. So to be able to go to TNA/Impact at that time and just not only be at the tapings, but be able to meet the people that I see on screen. It's like, I was with Joe Hendry. I had the digital championship. Like, yeah,
I was part of that. I was just going to ask if you believed in Joe Hendry.
I do believe in Joe Hendry. I was part of the little package they used for him. I think it was last year, the year before, in Orlando. I had a little moment with him there. And even meeting Trinity a couple of like days before the Rumble event happened not too long ago. And Nick Nemeth, like all these people, like it's just nice to see them happening. And I love being able to see them in person, the way that you don't get to see them often like this. And it's like an official like meet and greet to be able to see them. And I met Jordan there. I know I did Trinity last time. I did Nick. I met Mickie James the year before. Oh, yeah. So it's like, it's always nice to get that experience that you don't get to see often. So I always love whenever they say Orlando, I tell my dad, we're already going, just so you know. And there's nothing you can do about it. Just take a moment to rest, because he works it the same day usually. But I just say, just take a moment to rest, and then we're going to go later, because at least it's close to us. So it's always nice to get that experience to see the tapings and kind of see it from our aspect, and then watching it on YouTube. And it's like, oh, I can find myself again, because I used to be, like I said earlier, I was in the Orlando tapings in Ring of Honor in Universal.
I was to go to some really cool things being in the area that you're in. That's so awesome.
Yeah, I did the TNA tapings when they used to be in that Studio 19 in Orlando as well. So those moments of like the Aces and Nates and the Brooke Hogan wedding, all those things. I was there for those moments in there too. So it's always kind of weird to think about later all the moments that I've seen in TNA later on when I see the YouTube videos. And that I was there for those tapings years ago.
And the valleys.
The big valleys.
Of Impact TNA, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
What's your favorite thing going on in wrestling right now on the whole?
Ew.
Big question. I know there's a lot happening.
Yeah. I definitely think that Damian was a big one for me. I kind of predicted it the moment before it happened. I told my brother that the cash-in was about to happen, and it didn't happen. And my family was just staring at me like I was crazy, because I was just jumping on the couch. I was crying. I was shaking. And the moment that I heard that three, I just bawled my eyes out. And I took a picture of it and I tweeted it to the bump when he was on the bump, and they showed it up on the bump. So it was pretty awesome that he got to see it. Yeah.
Oh, I love that. Great guy. Really, really great guy. He trained not far from here at the Monster Factory with Danny Cage. And it's very cool to see the guy that was training there and became Punishment Martinez and had that run as a baby face in WWE and all this Judgment Day stuff to cash in and get his moment is so special. And then, of course, the representation aspect on top of that is so cool. Senor Money in the Bank, right?
I love it. He's the first Puerto Rican world champion in 50 years. So think about it. It's been that long since we had one. And just think about, because some people thought he's the first one. I said, no. Pedro Morales was the first one. But it's been a while since it happened. And then somebody said it's 50 years. So I was like, there it is. I know it's been a long while, but at least it's happening now.
Oh my gosh. I love that. That's awesome. Yeah. Well, here comes Joel Pearl, speaking of... He was like, what? My name was said. I'm going to bring him on real quick right now.
Say his name and he...
I was about to say that.
I'm not ready for camera.
You always have to be ready.
Joel, you look great. Your hair is amazing.
Thank you. What do you think I am? Matt Cardona? Astrid, come on.
I mean...
Close enough.
We had a super chat from Jan Beard earlier that challenged Joel Gacy and says that he thinks you don't believe in Joe Hendry.
I just proved I did. I know the song lyrics and I sang them. So
London. Where else?
Tokyo and Mexico.
Paris and Tokyo.
Paris and Tokyo.
Yeah, I don't think you believe in him, Joel Gacy.
Oh, now I'm
debating.
Where
are you? Listen,
I'm currently on the war path. I will be in Montreal for Slammiversary. I have booked my travel. My plan is to hunt down Joe Henry in the kindest of ways and have a... he does a food fight thing. That's his gimmick on the members only TNA channel. I want to do that, but I want to go on a poutine crawl with him in Montreal.
Oh, okay. I'm not mad about that.
I want to have some poutine with Joe Henry and talk about food and wrestling. That's my gimmick.
I like that. I like that. So he's saying you're going to hunt him down as long as you're not bringing your kids' study hotel rooms or doing anything weird like that.
Buddy, people know me as a respectful gentleman. I do not plan on changing that perception anytime soon.
Yeah, respectful, yes. Gentlemen.
That is questionable. That's true. That's true.
How was TNA tonight, Joel?
Actually, you know what? It was pretty good. I have to say, it was. So on Friday, they did Under Siege, and we didn't do a post show because it was largely. Because
you're a coward.
Yes, I was exhausted. I was actually called a coward by people at TNA for not doing a post show.
Well, there you go.
That's what I get.
Takes one to know one is what you should have told them.
I tried. These people can beat me up. They're bigger than me. And you know I'm a pretty big guy. But anyway, so they did Under Siege. And of course, we talked about this ad nauseum, right? They do a show 2 weeks after they just did a pay-per-view. And that's kind of stupid. But regardless, Under Siege was really good. The follow-up on TV tonight actually turned out to be a pretty good litmus test coming out of Under Siege and going into Against All Odds. So good show. I'll give it that.
Very cool. We'll bring Cresta on here.
Nah.
And well, yes, but Cresta, how you doing, darling?
Hello, everybody. I'm back. My birthday was last Thursday. I didn't do anything. And this week feels more like my birthday and I'm going out. That's why you see the hair color change, but I'll be back to purple tomorrow. You're all beautiful. Oh, hi, goodness. The natural. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. How was Ring of Honor?
It was a 50-minute episode, but it was a good 50 minutes. So we can't really complain, but it was thin, but it was good with what was on there. Happy, we decided your birthday is this week.
My birthday's going to be tomorrow because that's when we're going out, actually. So if you guys want to give all the monies to Crest the Star, it's going to a Black-owned business. It's me. I'm Black.
Well, we love that for you. What was your favorite part of TNA tonight?
Honestly, Ali is a piece of crap, and this is some fine, fancy heel work. Fancy heel work.
How dare you? Man.
No, I mean,
you know, respect. Trust, like,
listen, he's a piece of crap in the best way. I mean this with the utmost respect. This is fine. This is fine wrestling. This is fine.
Listen, Jeremy and I interviewed Mustafa Ali maybe about a month ago, and Sean Ross Sapp was on with us, and he was disrespectful to the X Division champion. Okay,
Mr. Sapp was disrespectful.
Very disrespectful. And I would not stand for that from the X Division champion. And as a result, it got me a job in his campaign trail. But let's not talk about that. Those are semantics. Point is, he is on the run of his life and he is above reproach.
Well, you know what?
He's above reproach.
I will change my tune, and Ali, we trust. He's not a piece of crap. He's just telling it how it is, like a true, fine, fancy wrestler.
Now you got it.
I know this is going to be a New Japan match, but he called Leo Rush a child in need, I think, or something. And his whole promo was about like how important it is to be doing charity work and in these day and ages. And sometimes you got to reach down the card and you got to shine a little spotlight on someone. And
that's disrespectful to me in this wrestling.
He was a gifted child is what he called him. My bad. A gifted child is Leo Rush. I was howling at that. My God.
Listen, at the end of the day, he said the same thing about Jonathan Gresham. And now look at Jonathan Gresham. inking people's mouths.
Yo, this man is inking people. First of all, COVID, bro. Yeah. Second of all, Splatoon wants his gimmick back. Come on.
Listen, does your Ring of Honor have people spitting in other people's mouths and that the mouth is ink and it's poisonous and it's...
Well, no, because honor is real and saliva is not involved.
I thought you were about to say saliva is not real. I mean, like,
saliva is not real.
Saliva is real.
They were a great band, okay? They were a great band.
Ladies and gentlemen. Did they do Ladies and Gentlemen?
They did. That was one of their lesser known songs.
Look at me.
It was a WrestleMania song. So of course, the WrestleMania fans know it. Oh, come on. Click, click, boom.
Click, click. All it was also, I believe, in Talladega Nights.
The Kings of the Spear. Oh, that song was all over. Listen, the real question is, Astrid, how was your first Fightful experience working with Kate of all people?
I know. Finally, I get to do something with her. I'm very glad it happened. I learned something from my great friend, LJ. Shoot your shot. So there you go. That's why I'm here.
Got you. Always got to shoot your shots. Always got to shoot your shot.
I'm learning.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Look, it's a very crowded space, and sometimes you just got to make things happen for yourself. And Astrid is great, so we were very excited to have her. But we're going to throw it over to the TNA crew. Thank you guys so much for... thank you, Astrid, for joining me tonight. We'll be back next week. I'm looking forward to it, but we're going to throw it on over to Krista and Joel.
Whoa, that's us.
That is you. Bye!
I guess this means we have work to do.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.